This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to Bagging It with Balnor. I'm Balnor. I don't have a canonical last name, but I'm here with the Morning Zoo 2 crew.
I'm sure we'll be able to find your last name on our feet during this.
You know, we've tried, and it hasn't come up yet.
I'll keep a pointed ear out for it.
Appreciate it.
I made my name up. You can just do that.
That's true. Speaking of made up names, we got the Morning Zoo 2 crew here. We got Hard One Shorefoot. What's up, party boy?
Chilling, man. Hanging. Oh, fuck.
Wow. You dropped the ball. We got
party girl,
Moonshot Sybin.
Hey, y'all. Yeah, I am partying. I'm about three deep.
Nice. All right. Get it.
Oh, that was really cool and chill. Introduce me again quickly. I'm going to do.
So sorry. This is live, as we all know, but we
give him another chance.
All right.
One more chance.
We've got the party boy, Hard One Shorefoot.
That's what's up. I'm just chilling. I'm three deep at this point.
Well, that's literally the exact same thing that Moonshine said.
Will I get introduced before Moonshine?
Are you suggesting I splice you in beforehand and I cut out Moonshine's original joke so that you can look good?
Look, I'm not going to get into your editing, your post-process. I'm just telling you what I think the fans would like to hear. Thanks.
Right. Okay.
That's what the fans would like to hear.
The hard one heads. The hard heads out there.
Wow, the hard heads. Shout out to the hard heads. Unfortunately, spent so much time introducing Hard One, we unfortunately don't have enough time to introduce Beverly this week. So, Bev, if you could just make it super, super quick, because we're on a time frame. Yeah.
Beverly Toe. That's all I need. All
right, that's good.
Wow, appreciate that was gold. It.
Thank
the
guy, you.
The kids. The kid's a pro. The kid's a pro. Hey guys, so you know we all are recording remotely today, obviously after the pestilence pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, as you all know, the horsemen of pestilence did trick Bev into bringing a cursed sword to Gladeholm. Then Erdan banished the sword.
It could have happened to anyone.
It could happen to anyone. And it turns out Erdan actually banished it to a crowded Ruby Tuesdays.
So this is actually kind of on Erdan.
It's a little bit on, you know,
I know that these times are not about casting blame.
Not to point the finger at Erdan. And in Erdan's defense, the Ruby Tuesdays was in a demiplane, a prison demiplane that the Ruby Tuesdays got on the cheap.
Was it a prison Ruby Tuesdays?
No, it was just a regular Ruby Tuesdays in a prison gem.
Yeah, a prison Ruby.
It's, yes, yeah, yeah.
One of the most popular Ruby Tuesdays, it's kind of a destination Tuesdays. People like to go there. Because, you know, you can look out into, like, the kind of ruby abyss. Because it is actually in a prison gym. It's a Ruby Tuesdays inside of a ruby.
Precisely. Yeah, it's a Ruby Tuesdays.
I went there last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what? You
it
did?
Was a Ruby Tuesdays that I went to. I went there last Tuesday, and I got the Reuben at Ruby Tuesdays.
Ruby Tuesdays.
Hard One,
Tuesdays.
You are sort of patient zero here who brought it to Gladeholm.
Hmm?
It's what it kind of sounds like.
Okay, again, I really do not feel comfortable placing blame, but I do feel as though Hard One has made a mistake.
Okay, let's not place blame on anybody, especially not the guy that had a Reuben at Ruby Tuesdays, shook a lot of hands on his way out.
Ruby Tuesdays Rubens.
But yeah, anyway, guys, we want to stop the spread of pestilence.
We
so
do.
Everybody stay safe out there.
Absolutely.
You know what? Let's get into our show. Okay. This is going to be a shout out to the news crew. Gang, despite the government ordinance to stop the spread of pestilence and the worldwide apocalypse, the 23rd annual Green Teen Jamboree is apparently still on.
It's happening, baby. Stories of Green Teens at the Jamboree.
Scoutmaster Denny Pebblepot tells the Newswire that the Green Teens will be participating in activities like crocheting in their unventilated arts and crafts room. There's going to be groups.
Unventilated.
Why was that specified?
It sounds extra dangerous. There's going to be group wrestling, not just individual wrestling, but just groups.
That's a lot of contact.
Wrestling each other at the same time, also in the unventilated arts and crafts room. And then there's going to be something called a team pie eating contest, which I guess is when a whole team works together to eat a pie.
I have to be honest, isn't that every single pie usually?
Usually you would cut a pie and serve it. Yeah,
I can see your confusion, but this is, you're not allowed to use your hands. You just have to get in there with your mouth. Hands are tied behind your back, using the pot holders and the various things we've made in the unventilated tent. Yeah,
this is essentially a bunch of green teens making out in a prison, essentially.
Y'all green teens just need to get a timeout sack and just work it out the regular way, because I feel like y'all invent all these...
Who needs a timeout sack when you got a communal pie?
Yeah, all these sort of like pallor-blessed ways to touch each other, but y'all should just be able to do it.
It is true. A lot of the green teen activities do revolve around finding just ways to touch without your scoutmasters catching on.
Yeah, I'm reading a little further down here. There's obviously Scoutmaster Denny's under a lot of political pressure here to cancel, but he insists that the Pebble Pots don't really get sick. They're just kind of good carriers, is what he says.
That tracks. That really tracks.
Absolutely, yeah. He's very good at taking something from one place to another and getting it in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, he's good
at loosing something into the wild.
It feels pretty socially irresponsible. Should we call him?
Yeah, what's funny is I actually do have him on my speaking stone, because he was calling me about donations to the Green Teens for a while.
Those don't go directly to the Green Teens, actually. The Pebble Pots take a little bit off the top, I heard.
Okay, yeah. Shoot. All right. I gave a lot of brown leaves to the green teens.
You know what, Moonshine, why don't you go ahead and get Denny on the horn? We'll see what's going on with
Currently,
him.
I have him as possible spam, do not answer, but I'll call him, okay? Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Get him on.
Hey, gang!
Hey, Denny.
Oh, hey, sorry. Let me put this down. We're actually in the middle of the group pie eating contest.
Shit, okay. We're too late.
Whoop, stay back, guys.
Okay. Denny, this is the two crew here, and we really want you to just call off the jamboree.
Oh, that's the thing, though, is that everybody already bought tickets, and if I were to cancel, I'd have to give everybody their money back.
Oh, Jesus, it's the green teen quarantine now, okay? Don't let anyone out.
Green teen quarantine?
I just hate to say it, but I really think that we need to cancel this jamboree as well, Denny.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there is some sort of infrastructure within Bohemia in which we can just cancel Denny.
Yeah, I mean, this is the second group event in a row where you've, I want to say, actively tried to murder teenagers.
You know what? It's not about actively trying to murder them. It's just kind of turning a blind eye to danger.
Yeah, but it's so passive that it turns active. You almost have to intentionally do nothing.
You know, I wouldn't be able to work with green teens had all of the green teens, you know, the leadership not have gotten shipped off to the Feywild you know, back a few months ago, but I've sort of gotten to reestablish the green teens myself, so I'm head scoutmaster in a way. And
wow. Can I mute him real quick and just say, or mute ourselves and say, see, y'all, these are the kind of mistakes that we are making that we are not realizing.
We're installing puppet scoutmasters.
Come on, everybody, get in on those pies. Get nice and close. You got to get all the crumbs.
Moonshine, do you think you could maybe send an animal messenger or like some of Pawpaw's friends to go eat up all those pies? I think possums are immune.
Ooh, that's
or just
a good
eat
call.
Dinner.
You know what? I'm actually going to summon a flock of vultures to go steal the pies from the green teens.
Oh, that's weird. Huh. Oh, there's a bunch of birds that are just climbing in under the door because there's no windows in here. They're everywhere. They're eating the pies. They're pecking my face.
Be kind to the birds. Be kind to the birds. They're my brothers.
Everyone huddle together. Everyone huddle together.
Nobody heal Denny. Everybody do not touch hands, Denny.
Let's go ahead and we're going to go ahead and hang up on Denny. I think we just need to tactical bomb Moonstone at this point.
Yeah. Well, Balmer, you barely said a word to Denny. I don't know why you were so quiet.
Yeah,
I
don't have as much of a history with him. I kind of see you guys as like the field reporters.
Oh, ain't that something? We got a promotion.
Yeah, you know what? Speaking of field reporters, we're talking about Pebble Pots and whatnot. Why don't we move on to Gem Gems with Pendergreens? Pendergreens has
Love
some tips
section.
On how to stay fit while you're all practicing social distancing.
Because Pendergreens is the original social distancer.
Of course, I'm the original social distancer. Not necessarily voluntary, just sort of a personality thing. Yeah. Being on quarantine, I, of course, stopped by the, right before all this went down, when I started to, find out everything was going bad, I stopped by the GameStop to kind of stock up on games.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I have already beaten most of the games that I have on PS4, so I traded in my PS4 and my vast library of games to get a cool $9.
That's so selfish
and then,
of you.
With that $9, I then paid an imp to bring in a broken Bowflex off the sidewalk that my neighbor had thrown away.
I hope you windex that thing down, huh?
It was a while. This was on Monday, so I think I'm okay. I've pretty much been freaking out on that thing for the past few days now. Just burning calories, getting sweaty, getting freaked out.
Ain't that a picture? Yeah. Ain't that a sight for sore eyes? The idea of Pendergreens freaking out on a Bowflex.
here's the thing. If you are, going to find your own Bowflex, you kind of have to go out, which, is not recommended. You don't want to have contact with other people.
Much more responsible to steal someone else's trash and make it into an exercise vehicle.
Right. So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, you're going to pick up a phone book, right?
Uh-huh.
You're going to go name by name asking if the person owns a Bowflex. Now,
is this a segment on how to get a Bowflex or how to use the Bowflex? I thought this was
a workout. This is a workout.
I thought we were learning workouts.
I believe it's a self-quarantine advice guide, but it does appear to
Bowflex
be very Bowflex
is an all-in-one home workout system. So
I know. I know what a Bowflex is, but I resent the implication.
Is there a reason you're being a knob right now?
You got those muscles from a Bowflex? You got that from resistance training?
I'm a little upset that Balnor didn't call me for a workout segment. Is all.
This is what he wanted to do, man. What do you want?
I didn't know it was an option. You could have called me, Balnor.
I'm sorry. Do you know a better way to get a Bowflex?
Then looking in the phone book one name at a time? Sure.
Well, I was going to
go to
that.
Go to a tavern and ask around if anyone has a Bowflex.
Ask around during a quarantine. Is that what we're saying? Is that what we're saying?
No.
No, I didn't think so. All right, so let me finish.
All right, y'all, the tension needs to chill,
I've been freaking out of the Bowflex all day.
Stand
I'm just pouring out testosterone right now. I am sweaty, I am injured, and I'm excited.
Look,
injured.
I think we're all a little testy. We all need a hug, but we're not allowed to do it.
Oh, no, okay. Anyway, here's the snag. 99.9% of the people that you talk to in the phone book are not going to own a Bowflex.
Okay.
And of that 0.1%, 99.9% of those people did not throw out a Bowflex today.
Can I ask you, have you considered, I mean, you're in hell. It's right. Littered with real, like, dope metal aesthetic. Have you considered making a bone flex, essentially a bow flex out of bones?
That's really interesting. That fucking rules,
Moonshine.
I was actually really going to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm kind of mad he didn't do that.
That fucking owns.
Well, I want to let everybody know that you can build your own Bowflex, okay? So if we
you're
really...
letting everyone know, it sounds like Moonshine just let you know for the first time.
Not listening to the segment is kind of
seems like a no-brainer. There's just bones
here.
Everywhere on the ground.
I don't know why everybody's being a knob here. I'm sorry. Is everyone else, because kind of the nicest guy here is the king of hell. Where are you guys from? I just want to know. Do you guys own a Bowflex?
Does anyone here own a Bowflex?
Are you looking for another
one?
We
shouldn't mince words. No. Pendergreens, I want to know, how is your Bowflex workout? What's your routine? What do you do?
Yeah.
So I basically just like tie a rope to like my ankles and then my wrists and then my elbows. And then I just freak out. I just do like, I do arm hangs, I do ankle raises, I do hip loops, I do neck
hip
jumps.
Loops?
Can I just real quick,
hip loops, yeah.
Can I just real quick, specify something? You said tie a rope.
Right.
Is your Bowflex made of like twiny rope?
It's broken. It's, the thing is, if somebody throws out a Bowflex, it's going to be, heavily broken. Those things cost,
that's a broke flex.
That's a Bowflex.
Do you think that a Bowflex is when you just tie a rope to your body so it looks like you yourself are a bow?
No, the thing is that a Bowflex, you really got to break it down, right? You got the bow and you got the flex, and the flex is you, right? So a Bowflex is a bunch of bows tied together on a chair. So even if somebody has not thrown out a Bowflex in your neighborhood, you can build your own Bowflex out of chairs and 6 to 13 bows. You don't even need any arrows.
What I'm getting here is that if you don't have a Bowflex, you should pay an imp $9 to go get you a bunch of rope.
Well, first you got to trade in your PS4 and all your games.
Okay, see, this feels like a really personal workout plan. This is still a workout plan. Am I reading this correctly?
We got ankle raises, we got hand raises, we got hip loops, we got neck jumps, we got hand warmers.
Neck jumps.
We're doing all of them.
Do you do any delt jiggles?
Every once in a while, I'll get to a delt jiggle or two.
Invented the delt jiggle.
Did you, Hardwon?
Is that what you do every morning, Hardwon?
You've seen me. I only have to transfer between 4 and 9 hours, so sometimes when I have a light trance, I'll wake up and
delt jiggle. You're just jiggling, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you shake the entire airship sometimes with those jiggles. You get really agitated.
Tell you what, Pendergreens, you're such a better guy than Scoutmaster Denny. That's all.
You're here.
That's all I have to say.
I'm just a guy trying to make it work with the Bowflex, and...
That was beautiful. Honestly, that was
poetry.
You
know what? I'm gonna go tie myself to that thing and freak out.
Go freak out.
Oh, I can hear so much glass shattering.
I kind of wish we didn't hear the last part.
Do you guys think he's? Do we need to send somebody down there? Or?
I mean, honestly, he sounds like he's in better shape than the last time we talked to him on Bagpipes.
Yeah, he sounded like he had a little bit of a zest for life.
Yeah,
like his Bowflex kind of, you know,
anything to resist the lure of the tainted hellfire crown. And if it takes a Bowflex to do that, then it takes a Bowflex to do that.
Yeah.
Moonshine, I do think you should send a couple vultures to check on him, though.
Okay, I summon more vultures. All right,
why don't we send the vultures along? Vultures.
Maybe you can send some of that pie that they were eating at the jamboree down to Pendergreens.
No, that pie is contaminated.
We don't
want to
give
it to
Pendergreens.
Oh, you're right, my bad. I figured he'd be immune, but I don't know.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I was eating a bunch of pie at Ruby Tuesdays.
Okay.
Hard one.
Ruby Tuesdays, of course.
Ruby Tuesdays.
Tuesday T-W-O-S-D-A-Y-S.
You know what? Speaking of tips, Moonshine, why don't we head over to your corner here?
Oh,
You got some cooking tips for us, do you not?
I do have some cooking tips, but I also have some dispatches from the timeout sack.
You
know, during these times in which we are all self-quarantining, a lot of folks are ashamed to sort of ask, like, hey, I have a little relationship problem. Who do I ask? It feels selfish to ask about it. So timeout sack has been overflowing with questions. So
all right,
if y'all don't mind fielding some questions. Very first one. Hello to crew. I can't tell if my girlfriend is social distancing or breaking up with me. How can I tell the difference? Sincerely, Bayless in Bohemia.
Wow.
I have a decent amount of experience with relationships.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I think I'll let Beverly go first.
The 16.
And then I'll clean up the mess.
Yeah.
When he's done. As you guys know, I've been with many, many women. 34.
34. Wow.
Were you on a date at the Ruby Tuesdays?
I was on the prowl. I went stag. You don't have to.
Oh, stag to the Tuesdays.
You went stag to a Ruby Tuesdays.
Wow.
Did
you use that pickup line you were telling me about, where you said, like, how about we make this Ruby Wednesdays a Ruby Tuesdays?
I was going to, but then I was trying to get drunk enough to get the courage to say it to someone, and I ended up passing out in a pie, and I woke up the next day and I went home.
This isn't a pickup line, but when you go on the prowl at Ruby Tuesdays, you should call it Ruby Cruise Days.
Absolutely. I think we should just
Cruise Days.
Next up, I got hey, Balnor, Moonshine, Pawpaw, Beverly, and the fourth guy. I've been dutifully self-quarantining, but I just started chatting with a new person on my speaking stone. Things are getting serious, but we've never met. How do I know if this is a real deal or we are just grasping for companionship?
You know, I think that this is kind of a social experiment akin to Bohemia's favorite reality show, Love is Blind.
Love has the blinded effect, yes.
Love has the blinded effect, right. How could I get that wrong? And I think, if anything, this is sort of a beautiful time to fall in love, is it not?
That is so beautiful.
Are we not all always starving for partnership?
That's true, and this is the only time we get to be honest about that.
That's right, yeah.
That's
beautiful. I think that you'll know if it's real. You don't need a scry spell to know if love is in your heart.
Yeah.
That's just a little something from the Green Teen Handbook. There's a weird section about romance in there. I don't understand why, but it's in there.
You gotta teach him early. Hard one. We know you've kind of had the most experience out of anyone here.
Oh, thanks.
Sort of in all of your relationships, you know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
From sort of just like the quick hookup type, you know,
sometimes,
like the sort of long-term ones. What would you
sometimes
would
it's
you
a
say?
Fling, sometimes it's a thing. That's what they say.
Really? Yeah.
Bev read that on a pillow too. Actually, yeah. Hard one, you might really have a lot of experience with this one. Hey boobs, my wife is a high elf and I'm a crick elf, and ever since quarantine, we've been on really different pages. For example, she wants to get down and dirty all the time, and I'm usually a dirty fella, but all this germ talk has dumped a bucket of ice down my pants, if you catch my meaning. How do I turn down Spirilla without making her feel bad? Thanks, y'all. Anonymously yours, Cooter.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever I've never had experience with being turned down, but I think there's been times.
Wait, a hard one. I'm so sorry. I don't want to like call you out here or put you on blast here or anything, but we have seen you sort of approach people sort of in a way that you are trying to initiate sort of a romantic encounter, and they kind of shoot it down. Just a number of trisses.
Yeah, well, I think that's
Shay.
Because, yeah, no. I mean, well, you know.
You can't fault him for Shay. I mean, Shay had standards that no one could achieve.
Right.
It really could be anything. Like, you know, they're tired. They're not in the mood. They have something else going on. But that's not on me, is all I'm saying.
That doesn't count as
I
rejection.
Haven't been turned down. Yes, I've tried to hit on someone who was feeling, who had like a stomach thing and had to leave quickly to go out with this other guy. But that doesn't That's not.
They only said yes to the other guy because that guy had Tums and you didn't have Tums on you.
Yeah, that guy was probably taking them to the doctor. That's really.
It's so strange for such a player to be so unlucky in love. I have a potential suggestion, and it's something that I learned from Hard One and the Trisses. Maybe they just need to edge for the entirety of the quarantine.
Yeah. Oh.
Sometimes one thing that the boobs are good at doing is edging.
I will recommend that to Cooter.
It's a little bit more of a cat and mouse thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The give and the take.
You know, Cooter's a little worried right now about the anonymous
the anonymous creep elf who's married to Ohio.
who is not Cooter. Is probably a little worried about the living embodiment of pestilence going around and giving everybody a disease where their limbs fall off and whatnot.
And who's not?
Totally understandable.
We can all relate.
But Spirilla, or whoever this partner is clearly responding to the situation by having a revved up sexual engine, considering they are feeling a lot of fear and probably trying to escape into their loins.
Right, and I think, you know, if you kick it back a little bit and you make it about quantity over quality and just really get a lot of edging in, you know?
Quantity over quality?
Is that what I said? I meant the opposite of that.
If there is one thing that we
get the numbers up.
When it it's all
that matters.
Quantity over quality.
I meant the opposite of that.
Numbers, emphasis on the numb. That's how much you want to be doing it.
That's right. Because you don't want to feel anything.
Yep. There's no flaws when you're all raw.
Would y'all like more?
Yeah.
Okay. What you got?
We got one last one from the timeout sack. Hi, I'm a nanner fly who's been self-isolating in a breeding jar. I was wondering if it's safe for me to go to another nanner fly's breeding jar, or how long I should wait before going to another nanner fly's breeding jar. Thanks, all. I love the show. I'm always blasting it from my Beats pill. Signed, a nanner fly. In parentheses, we don't have names.
Right.
Aw.
My fear is that nanner flies, don't they eat each other after mating, right?
Yeah,
they do.
It's
it's very brutal.
Yeah, in that case, the safest thing really is to stay in the jar.
And not because of any kind of pestilence, just to avoid mating with another nanner fly.
Yeah, and getting
because you'll be quickly
eaten.
Devoured. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is kind of fun. Sometimes we throw down bets on who's going to eat who first, because it's not like other insects will be like the female eats the male after breeding. Nanner flies is just a competition to see who eats who.
Wow. It's a free for all.
Yeah.
I think this is actually revealing some failings within like society and government in general, which is the fact that there's just not enough jars for all the nanner flies out there.
You know what? That is a really good call. That is a really good call. And we need more breeding jars for nanner flies.
We need more breeding jars for nanner flies.
We should have been making jars months ago.
We got to tell Mama this. Mama really should have been making jars.
Mama and Bubbles really dropped the ball on this one. We should have been making breeding jars.
You know what? Let's pepper in another shout out to the news crew. We're going to cut back there. We got another news story here. An anonymous artist is amongst those lost in the destruction of Iron Deep. In the ruins of the Dwarfenage, amongst all of the small bunks, there was a lone human-sized bed above which was a little cubby filled with thousands of drawings of new dwarf women. There were so many that archaeologists have theorized that the artist must have been at it for hundreds of years, right up to the moment of their death. The archaeologists theorized that the artist would need to be around 300 years old to work up to that volume and to have lived through several cataclysmic events, citing a trembling hand on the artist's part.
Now, we've actually got a couple copies of this art in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Those should be preserved under lock and key.
I like how they're very anime, which I was not expecting. The eyes are very, very big.
The proportions are very unrealistic, but in a very fun way. And also, I do enjoy the attention to beard detail, because sometimes it seems as though the genitals are kind of phoned in the focus is on the beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost a lot of hatching on there.
Yeah, it's like somebody who has imagined what somebody would look like naked but hasn't actually seen it.
It's probably not that, Balnor.
Yeah. It's like they've seen so many beards, so they can draw those, but the genitals still, one of them literally, the genitals are just question marks.
Wow. That one's obviously an abstract piece. I'm a little bit of an art history major. I've never seen these before in my life. Clearly done by a talented hand.
Yeah. Well, hard one. Funny you should say that. The archaeologists are actually saying that they're going to be able to do scry spells / sort of like a locate object, locate creature spell, and they think they're going to be able to track down this artist, kind of their remains.
Society is crumbling. We're living in a dystopian future. This feels like it should be an absolutely a low priority.
No, I heard that a lot of wizards, apparently this unknown artist did sign all of these, but then scratched them out in some sort of moment of shame or embarrassment.
Or maybe
which
they
is...
didn't know how to write properly. It looked like they were practicing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
If we can...
So wizards are talking about doing sort of like a reverse illusory script to try to reveal the intended name. Mm.
It's very important in these dark times to have art as a source of light and inspiration, which is why I'm pleased to announce that these are all going to be hanging in Gladeholm, right?
Okay.
At the
I'm going to gather them up. I'll be taking them myself to the wizards because, as you said, art is important. So if we can just hand them all over.
Even as you pick them up, your hands are trembling just like, interesting.
I have a very steady hand.
Funny coincidence. Sure foot and a steady hand.
Oh, this one has like a weird, it looks like some sort of like small fleshy boy being held in the arms of this beautiful dwarven woman. It's kind of hard to make out who it could be, but it's not a dwarf. It's clearly a human of some sort.
Do you guys strange. Take a look at this? How anachronistic. And this one's just a centaur, which is actually pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah, this one's rad.
I think they all suck personally. Let's either give them to the wizards or throw them away.
Well, you know, hard one, since you are such an art buff, you have
I am a buff artist.
You have
or a buff art guy that likes art, that doesn't do art but appreciates fine art.
You literally just told us you were an art history fan.
I'm into art. I don't know how to do it, and I wouldn't paint anything.
Did you had you prepped something for this? I'd heard that you had. Something together.
Yeah, here. You were going on and on. You were so excited about something that you were.
Oh yeah.
So I dictated a short teleplay, a radio drama, as it were, to Pawpaw.
Rare.
Papa, that's where you've been.
Here.
I've assigned everyone a part.
Papa just handed me the script. Am I Beverly?
You'll be Moonshine. Okay. There's also the part of a narrator. I don't know if you want to speak with animals, Papa, or Balnor.
I will. Yeah. I can't speak with animals, but
that's
Papa.
Great. That's a great idea.
I also polymorph him into a vulture.
All right.
All right. All right.
Hell yeah, Papa.
Papa, he's so distinguished.
Well, I am a vulture.
The play is called The Monster in the Cave and the hero Who Fucking Killed It, a radio drama by Hard One Surefoot.
Wow.
Chills
All right.
already.
Awakened Papa, why don't you go ahead and take it away? A tall, thick half-elf, thicker than any man or dwarf you've ever seen, stalks through the forest. He's
right
joined by a thin but capable flower boy and a fierce, large-bosomed elven woman. Also, there's another guy there.
Hark! We are looking for a fearsome beast that terrorizes a nearby village.
Yes, we must defeat this monster.
He sounds like the monster match. Indeed.
Beverly, don't overact.
Sorry.
Beverly, stop trying to steal this from me.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The wimpy guy pipes up. I'm afraid I must be held like a baby post-haste. Oh, come on, hard one.
No, you come on. Come on, Balnor. We have to enter the beast's lair and fight it like heroes.
I myself am game.
Ooh, Bev's improvising. That was a nice touch, Bev.
Easy does it, Bev.
Felt right in the moment.
I'm certainly not. I'm very scared.
I'm going in.
If you do, I'll cry.
Fine. I'll have to go it alone.
Huh. Didn't really see how that fall. Okay. Oh, rock on, you jacked stallion.
Thanks, Moonshine.
Prithee,
That's one brave guy, muscular as well, and a hairline that will not quit.
I Beth, think I pissed myself. Inside the cave, Hard One battles the beast.
Yeah, bam, za, be gone.
Was that the beast? I have shit my pants.
Balnor, sell it a little bit, please.
All right. Was that the beast? I have shit my pants.
There you go.
As a river of breezy shit spills from the elder halfling's trousers, Hard One Shorefoot emerges holding the head of the monster. He's victorious.
I have killed the thing.
Huzzay! Huzzay, good sir!
Huzzay, good sir!
Even its dead, severed head gives me the willies. I indeed poop myself yet again. A beautiful tree woman emerges.
Oh, Moonshine, will you play the part of Triss?
Yeah, I will. I actually know a thing or two about Triss, so I can get into this character really
quickly. You got this, Moonshine.
I saw the whole thing. You're my hero, Hard One.
Me? I just did what any super shredded guy would do.
Kiss me, French style.
Right now?
Kiss her, you fool!
Here goes nothing.
Hard One and Triss make out. Then they get married. The end.
Wow. Clap. Thank you.
Really, really good.
Bravo.
Can we have a quick talk back with the author, Hard One?
I'm around for a Q&A for sure.
Yeah, I'm curious about it. I thought it was a really interesting choice to have the main character say "Here goes nothing" before kissing a woman. I guess I'm curious what you're hoping to convey with that, because you know me, that reads as like, oh, I've never kissed someone before.
And I think I hear that thought, and I would say that I wrote it that way to let in folks who haven't kissed a woman before, to say that it's
like
okay.
Because you don't know what everyone's priorities are different. Not everyone's trying to go out and kiss all the time, you know?
Obviously,
that's great.
Yeah. No, I know that if you're going to kiss a woman, you wouldn't say, here goes nothing. You would say... incoming, babe, or something along.
You probably just wouldn't say anything.
Well, you'd have to say something. Balnor.
Yeah, I would say every relationship I've ever had, every single kiss is preceded by incoming. it's almost a nice way to get consent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a warning.
Here I come. Something like that.
Rocky like a hurricane. Yeah.
I gotta be honest. I found this story to be a little self-serving.
Balnor, that's true. I agree with Bev.
Me?
You got all the good lines.
It's true, yeah.
Yeah,
you're like
you
the comic
really
relief.
Cool...
That's so fun.
I would have loved to see
like
Bev take on that role. Bev,
it wasn't
I feel
an attack.
Like could have really killed that role.
I think you had a really interesting arc that I felt like was true to life. Because when it started, you were afraid, and by the end, you had shit yourself twice. So that's kind of like an interesting narrative.
Which, like, what is shitting oneself if not the catharsis of fear?
I feel... Moonshine gets it. You're a film critic.
You're starting to win me over.
Hard One, I really did like how you did the narrative mirroring of Balnor shitting himself and then shitting himself again later on.
That's true. It does bring up the idea of symmetry, which it was a motif that I noticed because, like, for example, a lot of words were repeated.
Yes, that was intentional, and I thank you for noticing.
Yeah, at one point you say, I killed the thing, and it just... If I were to give you any notes or anything,
and I'd like to. Just, this was a polished final, so I'm not really accepting.
It's just
feedback
a beautiful
at this point.
Garden of words and vocabulary.
I did enjoy calling it the thing. It was sort of for me as a listener and also as an actor. You know,
by the way, you crushed it. I applaud your performance.
I was following Bev's lead. In
constrained, subdued. Beautiful rendition.
I thought it was a beautiful move to call the monster the thing, as if to say, you are not so powerful after all. I found it to
power.
Be subversive. Mm-hmm. And what is art without subversion? You know, what's the point of it otherwise if you're not subverting something?
Mm-hmm. Moonshine gets
it. I like how you were vague there, but then very specific about how you wanted to be kissed, which was French style.
Well, yeah, sometimes you have to spell things out. It's a radio drama. It's so, you know, a kiss might not sound as hot as it is.
I was kind of surprised when the Triss showed up because there weren't any dryads in it at first. It wasn't even kind of clear where this was.
It was a little deus ex machina, but I think that was an intention. Because
yeah, sorry, say that one more time.
Yeah, one more time on that phrase, please.
Deus ex machina. Deus ex machina. Was intentional because sometimes you really just need a happy ending to come out of nowhere, and it was catharsis.
Absolutely.
It's a little catharsis.
Yeah, I love it.
I think we all need art. We all need art in these hard times.
Truly, amen to that.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
You know what, guys? Why don't we go ahead and do a little ad break here? And we want to once again apologize for our ad sponsors last show. We have cut off our relationship with Veal Meals Thrice Killed. We do not support...
Hard One has not, though.
Yes.
I don't believe.
Guys, we do not support the veal industry, nor do we support the idea of revivifying cows just to kill them again two more times to, quote, get the meat tasting scared.
That's not how we do it. That's a nice game of venison. Waste of spell components, honestly. Yeah.
with all that being said, Hard One did sell a big campaign this week, and we were really hurting for advertisers, so we appreciate you working hard through these tough times, bud.
Yeah.
This is a full episode takeover, fully spawned. Yeah.
Okay, gang. Bagging It with Balnor is brought to you by Confused Collars. Do you have a dog? Are you sick of feeding it and taking care of it? Confused Collars is here to help. Simply outfit your dog with one of our collars and let it outside like you would do any day. Once your dog is 15 feet away from the front door, the confused collar emits strange smells and sounds that confuse the dog, quickly causing it to become scared and disoriented.
Wow.
Your dog will sprint off in a random direction, thereby activating a second cascade of strange smells and sounds, guaranteeing that your dog will forget where it lives and move out into the woods. Confused collars. Naughty dog, not your problem.
I think we have the ad copy they sent initially.
I believe we have a promo code, Balnor. a unique URL or something. You've got to read the...
Yeah, it's, it's get lost, dog. That's GETLOSTDOG.
And our promo code is Balnor.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
So no, your name is
Balnor. Balnor at checkout for 10% off your dog collar.
Oh, boy. Don't use that one.
I'm just a fan of the tech.
I know that we're not supposed to badmouth our sponsors, but this just seems like an unnecessarily complicated and cruel solution to a problem that no one should have.
Yeah,
it's a little over-engineered, but I think that's what makes it interesting. The double cascading effect of confusing the dog. I find it fascinating. So.
I feel like people kind of shouldn't be releasing their pets.
You know, I think that my hope from the confused callers is that a sort of feral society of confused dogs will lead an uprising in the woods and overtake the cities.
Well, that's where the third cascading effect comes in.
Oh, no.
We'll confuse them the third and final time.
Right.
And their coup will fail. I see.
As long as they've got the confused collar on,
there's no limit to how often they can be confused. We can confound them, and it's better than impounding them.
Confound, not impound.
That's
right.
Yeah, that's another one of their sayings. I didn't want to say it out loud.
Hardwon, I am noticing they sent us a little brochure with more information about the collars, and there's just a picture of you, and it says CEO next to it.
Oh, yeah. So I invested in the tech, and I actually really stand by it. I'm just going to strap on one of these things right now. It's super fascinating. And
wow.
Why does it fit your neck? I thought your neck was thicker than that.
Where am I?
Yeah.
Where am I?
Okay.
I go outside now.
Okay. Actually, we sent some vultures over there.
I'm going to summon one giant vulture, specifically a Feywild vulture, to come and
That magnificent bird stole my collar.
Oh no, we got a confused Feywild vulture flying around in the sky. This is gonna be bad for business.
Oh, I think that one was one of the ones at the pie eating contest. I know.
Oh gosh. Oh, it's headed straight for Esri. This is no good.
Oh my goodness. You know what? Why don't we take a walk on the lighter side of things?
Okay.
Bev, you've got a little a book review this week, I believe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Is it time for Beverly's Book Nook?
Yeah,
I think so.
All right. Well, everyone, come on down. Pull up a beanbag or a stool. Gather around. Of course, you all read the book this week, right? We all agreed on the book and then we all read it.
Remind me what the book was again. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, of course, we talked about this on the group. The book is, of course, Xavier Trell and the Paradox Puzzle, Book 1 in the Riddle Master Saga by Vincent Chapkis.
Oh, I read it.
Chapkis. Now that you said Chapkis, that rings a bell. Yeah,
I realized. I read it. I was wondering if it was Book 2, but no, Book 1 I read. Yeah.
It's of course, it's Book 5 in the Xavier Trell Adventure Saga, but it's Book 1 in the Riddle Master Saga, and I thought that was a good place to start, because that's really where Mr. Chapkis, I think, like, really, really gets firing on all cylinders. So
yeah,
I thought that
Chapkis
might be a good place for us to go from.
Yeah.
Everyone read it, but I could do a quick synopsis.
That's exactly what I was
thinking. Yeah, Chapkis synopsis, please. Yeah.
Okay, all right, here we go. So after accepting an invite to the secretive and prestigious Puzzleton Academy for Inquisitive Boys, lonely teen genius Xavier Trell embarks on a quest to become the world's youngest riddle master. However, upon arriving at Puzzleton, Xavier learns that he's not the only one with this goal. His new roommate, the eccentric platinum-haired Delton Frost, my favorite character, shares his dream, and the two soon become bitter rivals. In class, they compete to craft the perfect pictographic rebus, and on the sports field, their competition heats up even further as they go head-to-head in a game of crossword soccer. That was one of my favorite parts in the book, actually, was the crossword soccer.
I loved
soccer.
Cross-board soccer.
Yeah.
Wow, that the crossword was awesome. Soccer.
What was your favorite?
I dog-eared that page.
Moonshine, what was your favorite solve that Xavier did when they were playing crossword soccer?
Hi, a lie. You know the sport.
I don't remember that one. Were you Oh, you know what? You probably have the special edition where the author added in some extra crossword soccer
matches.
Yeah,
I think we actually all read. I think we read all the read long the special one.
Lucky long us!
One. Wow,
I'm so glad we all read the one that you weren't entirely familiar with.
So you're gonna have lessons to tell me. That's so exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's push on with the synopsis, though, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Eventually, their pursuit of greater and more complex puzzles leads them into the Cryptex Forest, where they accidentally free the cursed Enigma Beast from its quantum Sudoku prison. Now, uh-oh, Xavier and Delton must put aside their differences and work to solve the 7 forbidden word jumbles so that they can unleash the paradox puzzle, a legendary 12-dimensional jigsaw with the power to stump the brain of any living being. Wow. The descriptions in this section blew me away. What did y'all think?
I think, personally, I ship the two characters.
Oh,
really?
What
do you mean? I do as well.
Yeah.
And I felt it was an erotic energy.
I think the fact that they're best friends, but also enemies, shows, as was
sexy
established.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is they would be good if they were boyfriends.
Yes.
Yeah. The subtext is what really does it. The stuff that wasn't on the page, but between the lines.
I agree. That's actually what I remember the most.
Well, because it's not all about. I hate to spoil it, but you all are in for a treat. 13 books later, when they hold hands, it is that scene.
13
devastating.
Books, huh?
13 books to get to that good stuff. Okay.
Yeah. I figured this would be a great long series for the quarantine. We could like read one every week.
Yeah, just like ballpark. How many puzzles we got to get through to get them holding hands?
Well, each one is about 20 puzzles. If you're reading the extended edition, that's going to bump it up to like 30 or 40 puzzles. Uh-huh. And then, of course, at around the 7th book, they introduce the concept of meta puzzles, are puzzles within puzzles. And then that's great. They actually introduce some like fold out pages in the books with worksheets on them so that you can solve the puzzles along with Xavier and Delton.
And are these like enchanted books, like you got to solve the puzzle in order to get to the next page?
There is a series of those, but they were not very popular because people actually prefer to hear someone else to read as someone else solves the puzzle.
So the other books were popular? These are the popular
ones?
Yeah,
the ones where you just read passively and someone solves the puzzle.
Book 5 is the book where they first go to school.
Yes, this all takes place in the interim during orientation.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. And then book 5, they actually get to school.
Yeah. Ooh, here's what I thought, Bev.
Mm-hmm.
How about that death?
Are you referring? Well, I mean, it's sort of a death, but it's a rebirth as well. If you're referring to the Enigma Beast, that is.
That is. I am talking about the Enigma Beast. Yep.
Yes, because it's revealed later on that the Enigma Beast is secretly the world's first riddle master, a man named Trinston Word Search, who supposedly disappeared over 50 years ago. Was that not a shock?
I ripped my book in half. I was so shocked.
I shit myself, as I'm known to do.
I actually called it. I knew it from the fucking jump.
I would expect nothing less from a playwright of such renown as yourself, Hard One.
A scribe, indeed. A scribe knows a scribe.
So this is actually, we're coming up on my favorite part in the book, which is when Trinston reveals that he has been cursed to inhabit this form by a secret organization known as the Council of Conundrum. And with his dying breath, he tells the boys, "Every finished puzzle is just a single piece in the jigsaw that is the multiverse." And boom, we're off to the races. That introduces, of course, a lot of parallel works in the series. You know, there's an entire Delton saga as well. Mm.
And what page did that occur on? Just because I'm trying to pinpoint it. That was on page, like...
I think it's either 1,473 or 7,444. There is, again, a lot of mirroring, similar to what you use in your work, Hard One.
Yeah. I guess he clearly took in a lot of... I was influential, it seems, for this.
Here's a question. Here's a good book club question. Who do y'all cast as the main characters? I'm thinking Tom Holland and Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
I think Timothy Chalamet is spot on.
Thank you for maybe both the main characters.
I think, honestly, yeah, you could just have Tiny Shandling play both parts, and you could maybe put some prosthetics on his face so it looked like two different characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think he can clump, if I'm being honest.
Without a doubt.
You know what, gang? Speaking of the arts, as we all know...
As we often are.
Yeah, as we often are. Gang, the Crick was really excited this weekend. Cobb and Cooter, of course, sold their comedy series, Crick Your Enthusiasm, to Bohemia HBO last year.
Love that for them.
We just had the premiere this weekend, but it is being panned in the Glade Home Times.
You tell me there ain't some bias in there?
Yeah, I know. We're going to go ahead and play clip from the show, and then we're going to talk about the controversy in a minute here. This is from a scene where Cobb and Cooter are talking about not sharing their Crick water with a Petrie.
Okay. Okay. This already sounds like right from my life.
Nah, I'm not letting that guy have at my Crick water. He's a wet huffer.
What's a wet huffer?
You know, somebody who's always got something in their nose. A wet huffer. You think that's all staying in the nose? Some of it's spraying out, Cooter. He's a wet huffer. I won't huff with a wet huffer. I heard the huff. It's dry. It was a wet huff.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good.
I've known some wet huffers in my day. I got to be honest. When you first started huffing hard one, you were a wet huffer. We talked about it behind your back for a brief minute.
That's why it's so goddamn relatable.
It's actually not relatable to me, but like just knowing that there's kooky people like that out in the world, like living their life and having troubles, that gets me. That really just tickles me nonstop. Yeah,
see, that's good stuff. I gotta say.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Moonshine, is this sort of just the divide between Crick Elves and High Elves? Because the High Elves are kind of saying that the story is completely unrelatable.
Well, okay, since we do talk about art, why has everything got to be relatable? You know, like there should be able to be art that has value. Without it relating to your direct life, that's almost a confession of solipsism or narcissism or something. Listen to what Beth said. That was a perfectly great way to enjoy art. This doesn't relate to my life, but I love knowing it's out there. So I gotta say, these high elves gotta get out their own butts.
Right. I guess though, I think maybe some people are still confused because there was the whole B story about Cobb being upset that somebody lower decked his toilet, which in most cultures that would just be using it correctly.
Yeah, I know, but you know, part of art is learning about other cultures rather than just reflecting on yours all the time, huh?
The episode was like 2 hours long.
We don't really have editors at the Crick.
Yeah, listen,
we make a lot of art.
You shouldn't have to edit gold. It's gold.
Exactly. Thank you.
Until you've walked another mile in someone else's boots of elvenkind, can you really judge them?
Exactly. I gotta say, I just disagree with all this high elf, highfalutin.
You know, I think this might just be a case of, you know, a cult classic. I think this is going to be something, even though it is very clearly, very quickly going to get canceled. Mm-hmm. I think this will be a show that we all remember very fondly.
I think so, too.
It's just so cool to finally have a show about huffing.
Yeah. I know.
Really good. Really, really good.
Most shows are about other stuff, but this one's just a show about huffing.
Yeah.
All right, gang. You know what? Let's go ahead and do one more shout out to the news crew. Guys, this is ripped straight from the headlines. Famous boutique clothing store, The Vest Chest, turns out to just be a front for Akarat's phylacteries. Over the years, the Vest Chest has sold thousands of beautiful custom fitted vests. They are really good. Turns out that they do contain the essence of Akarat. Erdan has called for all vests to be destroyed, but fashionistas are hesitant. Can the Vest Chest outlast the bad press?
Okay, I got to be honest. This is a real problem. Akron knew exactly where to hit us hardest, and that is with vest fashion. People are not going to give up those vests.
We can't give in to fear and destroy our vests.
Yeah.
They're the only thing we have left.
After the arts, the culture, you know, our favorite TV shows, our dramas, our books, our fashion, the vests. Whether it's fashion in the form of vests or collars that confound our animals, we have to stand up for what's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with
and
some
continue,
of that.
Continue production of these glorious collars and vests. Yes.
Would we consider the sort of promulgation of these vests to be sort of a vestulence in itself?
That's interesting.
Moonshine, you should write for Crick Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've been sending them packets left and right, but the thing is, we are an oral culture, so the fact that I've learned how to write does not mean that
Cobb doesn't know how to read the packet.
Yeah.
There's no script.
I respect it. He does great stuff, you know.
You do keep sending the packets via Vulture, and I think the Vultures are just going right back to the Jamboreen.
Yeah.
And they're
more
sick
pie.
And confused, and they have the collars now, and there are just rabid, sick, confused Vultures out there.
Honestly, so I'm counting like maybe three major plagues we've got going on currently. We got the vest, we got the Vultures, and we got the pestilence.
We actually have a new ad. This just came in. Hardwon Shorefoot Vulture Handler got a confused, rabid, sick Vulture dry coughing on your Jamboreen. I'll kill it. Hell, I'll kill any animal.
Oh, no. Hardwon, this feels opportunistic. Did you create a problem so that you could solve it?
Look, it's the gig economy, sister. I got to get myself out there.
Papa, I can't believe you would be complicit in writing that ad.
Look, Papa has a code. As a lawyer, he must be impartial.
Papa can advise, but he can't, you know, he can't tell Hardwon what to do.
Yeah.
Papa, I thought you were going to help me kill the fucking Vultures.
My possum's rusty, but it sounds like he said, fuck you, got mine?
Yeah, rear. Rear yourself, Papa.
Rear. Everybody relax. Everybody relax.
Hold me back.
All right, you know what? Does anybody else have any other segments or anything they'd like to share before we go off the air here?
No, I'm good.
I just want to quickly say solidarity to all my green teens out there. Do not touch hands. Whatever you do, do not touch hands.
That's true. And
if you ate the pie, I'm sorry. May Pelor be with you in your last final moments.
I got a quick shout out to Triss. If you're out there, if you're listening, I'm willing. I'm willing to give you a second chance. You know where to find me. I'm at Ruby Cruise Days every other Tuesday.
You can't go. You can't go out, Hardwon.
Ruby
Cruise Days is closed.
They still do takeout. Yeah, you can pick it up through the window.
You really shouldn't be meeting people.
Yeah, you really shouldn't be.
The Living Body of Pestilence is out.
I will say,
I gotta give a shout out to all the Crick Elves out there just kicking it alone in their own timeout sacks. You know, just stay strong. We're all gonna get in each other's sacks again soon.
And check out our Lich stream where we're gonna be doing a live performance of the Monster in the Cave and the Hero Who Fucking Killed It next Tuesday.
Yeah,
subscribe to that for sure.
Yeah,
I think I might have somebody else step in for me to do my part.
You're the crux of the Balnor.
This is your chance, Beverly. You can be Balnor. You can take over that comic relief character.
I mean, no, if Beverly wants it, then clearly I should do it.
It's the role of a lifetime. Are you kidding me? I'm sure that Timbley Shambalam would love to step in and play the Beverly part.
We'll call him up.
That's
I'll reach out to his reps.
Hardwon, do you got any connections to Timbley Shambalam?
Yeah, you know what? Not any direct connection, but I feel like as a fellow thespian and an artist, we must run in the same circles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, I'm looking out the window. Must. There's a vulture carrying Bambalam right here. He's coming.
Vulture. Okay, wait, hold on. I speak with animals. Put down Timbley Shambalam.
That bird is confused.
I think this is Tom Holland. He's so confused.
Oh no, it's Ansel Elgort. You got Ansel Elgort.
All right. You know what, gang? Why don't we end this on the rant chant? All of us rant at the same time. You know, the cause of all of our problems and all of our suffering, as always, is Scoutmaster Denny. So why don't we go off on that guy with one last rant chant? Thank you guys so much for listening. Rant chant in 3, two, one. You
I
know
mean,
that
I
guy.
Was about Denny is
making up all this.
Actually,
what
Denny is
You're not even getting a piece of pie. That's not
But everyone thought it was counting for
as soon as one person,
then we just started somebody else. Then the other
Dick
Scout.
And he didn't like it when we called him Dick Scout.
That's not a good contact.
Your ass is pretty bad.
What is that?
Complain to the Scoutmaster's Council. And after he complained, they made us stop calling him Dick Scout. Hello, friends. Caldwell here. It is the end of the episode, which means it's time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. Let's get right to it. Brad D., Dylan B., Danny P., and Steelbreaker. Balnor's radio producers. Their elven ears are so sharp and their fingers so nimble that they can hear a cuss word and bleep it before it's ever been uttered. Beardman Dan, Adam R., Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Alucard, and Alexander T. Five green teens who were about to participate in the Jamboreen pie-eating contest when a vulture swooped in and carried them away. It dropped them in the ocean, but still, better than the plague. Haldor Frostback, Jordan DJ, Jeffrey S., Cutter W., and Andrew M. The people who purchased Pendergreen's used PS4 games. Half of the discs were covered in hot wing sauce and didn't work, while the other half were actually just DVDs from his box set of The Sopranos. Schubert the Mushroom, Elena C., Mixologist Michael McD., Balnor's Boy, and Michael C. Microscopic horses that Pestilence uses to infect people all over Bohemia. There are barely any symptoms, but if you feel a little hoarse, call a cleric immediately. Justin I., Jacob C., Elena M., Dana G., and Paul G. Waiters and waitresses at the Extra Dimensional Ruby Tuesdays. They also work part-time at the discount magic slipper store across the street, Ruby Shoesdays. Cute. Damiel R., Destin C., Jibe G., David T., and Aaron Sully. The actors for the Broadway stage production of The Monster in the Cave and the Hero Who Fucking Killed It. Critics all agree that David T. shines in the role of Balnor. It was like I was shitting my pants right alongside him, raved the Bohemia Times. Sergio Salazar, Solomon Zacharias de Sequani, Michael L., Trele the Crayfay, Jory S., and Pup Thoth. The brave interns responsible for stocking Balnor's green room with fresh tuna and Bud Heavies. Legend says that the room's stench is so powerful it can ruin your sense of smell and make you have loud dad sneezes for the rest of your life. Adam H., Ryan, Aaron G., and Jake L., the ad sales team that just got fired for all the advertisers Hard One had Baggin' It partner with. Too bad, folks. Big Buck, Richard X. Machina, Sam L., Troy McSee, and Drew Nasty. A pack of vultures that is actually just trying to live their lives, but Moonshine keeps summoning them. They're actually a really nice family who is trying to celebrate one of their 12th birthdays. Shove off, Moonshine! Josh S., Nicholas C., Austin C., Kristen P., and Axel A., the organizers of the Quarantine, a rival event in which a bunch of green teens Google Hangout and sing songs about Pelor. Obviously, the connection was laggy, but it was much more fun than Denny's Jamboreen. Makes sense. Mike H., Matthew E., Okada, Angel Gamer, and Catherine S. The stagehands for Hard One's radio play. Why would a radio play have stagehands? They asked the same thing, but Hard One insisted that he needed them. TJ M., the Gnome Barbarian, Trask the Traveler, Robert F., Paul and Megan the Twins, and Hunter R., the writers of Crick Your Enthusiasm, who patiently explained again and again to their high elf showrunners what lower decking someone's toilet really means. Zolo Dolo, Nick B., Burley T., Panama James, and I Am the Atlas, the stable hands where Pestilence has been boarding their horses. They're secretly trying to endear the horse to them, and guess what? It's working! Looks like the horse is going to turn on its rider. Good work, friends! Colton B., Jay, CC Lulu, Aiden RH, and Robert P. Ren's extended family who has actually been practicing social distancing from poor people for like, generations. Timmy R., Blitzkrieg Dimitri, Jay Dragonborn, Zach C., and Digital Burn 101. tailors at the Vest Chest Vest Emporium, who inadvertently have been spreading the essence of Akarot throughout Bohemia. But you know what else they've been spreading? Style. That's right. Lucas B., Jordan L., Talith X., Mateo C., and Casimir the All-Knowing. The owners and proprietors of Ruby Ruby Cruise Days, who are currently suing Hard One for spreading pestilence in their fine establishment. Unfortunately, Pawpaw will be representing Hard One, and Ruby Ruby Cruise Days is likely to lose everything. Well, they deserve it. Kaylee Elise, Barnesinator, Christian A, Yin's Christian T, and Luke H. The winners of the group pie-eating contest at the Green Teen Jamboreen. Currently spending the next 6 weeks at the Green Teen Quarantine. Devin W., Shanoa B., Jared E., Persephone, and Eric McD. Pendergreen's workout buddies. Each one ties a rope to one part of the Bowflex and just freaks out. They're all super jacked and super injured. Reese N.S., Eric and Andrea B., Jay Parker, Jonathan O., and Austin M.R. The brave rangers who chased down the confused vultures and freed them from their confused collars. These heroes won't rest until Hard One has lost all of his sponsorships. Now that's justice. Stephen C., Maxwell C., Mike K., Omri M., and Callum L. The kind souls who carried Hard One home when he passed out in a pie at Ruby Ruby Cruise Days. It took two people to hold each quad. Scott D., No Thor the Prodigy Ranger, Mikonji, Dan, and the Red Rain. The writer's room of Crick Your Enthusiasm. None of them know how to read or write, but they know how to keep it light. And that's what counts. Richard C., Karen T., Curtis S., Nathaniel P., and Nikki W. Balnor's Traffic News Crew. These fine folks are cruising in an airship above Esri reporting on road conditions. The roads, which should be empty, by the way. Everyone stay home. Come on. Andrew B., Christopher B., Nicholas P., Kevin M., and Rahul N., five other main characters from Beverly's book. These are pivotal characters that didn't make it into the synopsis because the story is just that dense. It's true. It's a real tome. Mary Bell, the Kitty Morphing Gnome. Joe McGee, Meta Amphs. Atticus C. and Amy W. The group of vultures that Moonshine summoned to attack Denny. Interestingly enough, they were going to do that anyway. Kelvin Noodles, Grace G., Lance, Esme M., and Gary J., a team of anthropologists studying Hard One's hand-drawn dwarf porn. They all agree it's hot as hell. Eric G., Michelle O., Gage M., number one Beverlyn fan Jen R., and Tingle the Bard. The only five people in the world getting rid of their Bowflexes. So we just saved you the hassle of having to go buy one through your phone book. We are heroes. Feldonis, Gone Off, I'm Hopeless, Dave H., and Michael K.M. Five tieflings who got absolutely sloshed off of Moonshine's cocktail recipes. Because they did it right. You were supposed to try them all at once. Duh. Redneck Ruff, Christian S., Shadow, and Jack L. Critics who panned Old Cobb's show only to watch the second episode and realize they actually love it. Thankfully, the third episode, they hated again. And that is all of our elders. Thank you all so, so much for your patronage and support. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.